Ladies and gentlemen, good day and thank you for your patience. We'd like to welcome you to this WebSphere Support Technical Exchange Conference. And now for introductions, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Joseph Lam. Mr. Lam, please go ahead.
Thank you, Dahlia, and welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is WebSphere Message Broker, Java Compute Node, Common Pitfalls. Today's presenter is Kailash Perry. Kailash is a Level 2 Technical Support Engineer for WebSphere Message Broker. His responsibilities include identifying and resolving WebSphere Message Broker-related issues for customers worldwide. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Kailash.
Thanks, Joseph. Hello, everybody. Once again, my name is Kailash Perry. Like Joseph said, I work in Message Broker Level 2 Support here in Raleigh, North Carolina. And today, I'm going to talk about Java Compute Node and most common problems that we see from customers. Briefly, we will discuss the agenda. It's on slide 2. I'll give you a brief overview of the Java Compute Node and why was it introduced in version 6 and what the JCN Java Compute Node can do, its capabilities, and also how to create the Java code, basically the steps to configuring and creating the Java code in the Java Compute Node. Then I will briefly move on to the activities involved in deploying a bar file that contains the Java Compute Node. Then we will move on to a brief comparison of the Java Compute Node and the user-defined nodes that were available prior to version 6, which are equivalent to Java Compute Nodes. Then I will talk about the class loading hierarchy that is associated with the Java Compute Nodes, how the classes are resolved, how the broker resolves these classes. And then I will discuss the common problems that most customers have seen since Java Compute Node was introduced in version 6 and their resolutions. And lastly, we will move on to the debugging of Java Compute Nodes and the steps that are needed to do for debugging a Java Compute Node. Slide 3, Java Compute Node we have introduced in version 6. It's a general purpose programming node. Until version 5, most of the programming in Message Broker is done via a compute node using eSQL. And if customers were to use any other programming languages, they have to define user-defined nodes and can use C, C++, or Java. The reason why Java Compute Node was introduced in version 6 is because of a strong customer demand for a node with which they can use a general purpose programming. So we decided to use Java because of its popularity and the amount of Java skilled people available in the world today. And also because Java is more standards based than C, C++, that's why we chose Java over these other languages. Continuing on to slide 4, Java Compute Node is compatible with Java version 1.4.2, and you can use all your existing Java code, whether it was written with user-defined nodes in Java or standalone Java code, you can link that with your existing code to the Java Compute Nodes. And also, one of the features that we chose for Java Compute Node is to reuse the existing user-defined node Java APIs so that there is no new learning curve. And on top of that, we had introduced some new APIs to take care of some other new functionalities that were introduced in the Java Compute Node. Also, we supported XPath for Java Compute Node. As you all know, XPath is a query language that is used with XML documents. And XPath is primarily a tool that you can use to navigate tree structures. Because Broker uses message trees, we introduced XPath to query the logical elements of the message structures. And if you want to use XPath, the only thing that you will need to do inside a Java Compute Node is you will need to use the Evaluate XPath API that is introduced in version 6 Java API. Given the fact that we introduced Java Compute Node, it is now the recommended way of using Java in Message Broker. Not that to say user-defined nodes are not supported. it's much more easier to use a Java Compute Node versus a UDN, which we will discuss in the following slides a little bit later. Moving on to slide 5, the capabilities of Java Compute Node. Java Compute Node has got 4 terminals, 1 input terminal and 3 output terminals. The in terminal is the terminal which accepts the incoming message that is to be processed by the Java Compute Node, and it has 3 output terminals, failure terminals that you will use if for some reason your message fails to transform. It will be propagated out of the failure node, and the 2 other output terminals, out and alternate, you can use to propagate the message once it is transformed based on your need. You can propagate it via the out terminal or the alternate terminal. Also, the Java Compute Node can act 3 different ways on an incoming message. One is like a filter node in version 5 and version 6, where the incoming message is just examined. It's a read-only object where you cannot do anything on the message. It will propagate it out of the outer alternate terminal. And the other 2 are basically you will examine the incoming message. You can alter some parts of the message and transfer it out, propagate it out. Or you can build a completely new message retaining some or no elements from the incoming message. So basically, you will be building an entirely new message based on the input message. Moving on to slide 6, to create a Java code, what you would do is after you drag and drop the Java Compute Node into your workspace and wiring all the terminals, right-click on the Java Compute Node and select the Open Java button that is there available once you right-click on that pop-up window. It will create a new Java project, which is shown in the next slide. The Java project name that is created will have, it will use your existing message flow project name and appends Java to it so that you can use that default name or create a new project name based on your choice. If you want to rename it, you can rename it there. Once you choose your name, if you click Next, on slide 8, this is the window where you can set your build settings for your Java project. There are 4 tabs that are available. One is the source, the other one is the project, libraries, order and export, out of which most commonly used ones are the libraries tab, where you can click and you can configure any external or internal jars that your project is dependent on. Internal jars you will select if you have other Java projects in your workspace that your Java Compute Node project is dependent on. You click on internal add jars and then select the project that is in your workspace. And you will use external jars if you are using an external package. Say, for example, if you want to use MQJMS classes or log4j if you had installed it, you will use the add external jars button. And then you will be presented with a browse option where you will navigate to the folder where your external jars are so that these settings will be saved in your Java project. And when the Java Compute Node gets compiled, these will be taken into consideration while resolving the external classes that you're using in your Java Compute Node. I apologize for not including those 2 slides. It was an overlook on my part. Once again, I apologize for that. Moving on to the next slide, like I explained, you can create 3 different kinds of message classes with Java Compute Node. If you choose to use the filtering message class, basically you will, all you can do is look at the incoming message and propagate it out. It's a read-only object that comes in. You will not be able to manipulate any parts of the message. It just needs to be sent out of the output terminal or alternate terminal. If you use the modifying message class, then you will have a chance to examine the incoming message and alter any parts or all parts of the incoming message so that you can create a new message and route it or propagate it out of your out terminal or alternate terminal if there are no failures that occur. If there are any failures, of course, the message will be propagated out of your failure node. And if you choose the creating message class option, then you can actually discard the entire input message and create a brand new message and propagate it out of your outer alternate terminals. Continuing on to the next slide, slide 10, once you do that, once you click on finish, the Java compute node now, Eclipse will switch to a Java perspective and opens the Java compute node project in a new Java perspective. It will give you a basic framework which will fill in most of the packages that are needed at the top, and it will create the bare-bone evaluate method where you need to plug in your code. One of the things that is neat about this Eclipse Java perspective is it offers content assist for Java classes. So if you have a Java class, the moment you type Java class dot, it will present you with all the methods that are available so that you can choose whichever you want to do the operations on that class. Recently, one of the customers came and asked if we offer content assist for ESQL or MRM, just like we do with the compute node in the Java compute node. Right now, that capability is not there, and the development team is reviewing, and possibly they might introduce that functionality either in the next version or at a later date. Again, the other way to do to add the build path, if you have not done when you created the Java project, is right-click on the Java project and go to Properties and then select the Java build path on the left pane. You will check the libraries and add external or internal jars. This is an alternate method if you have not done it when the wizard pops up. Slide 11. That is what I was discussing about Java code dependencies. If you want to add external or internal jars or other Java projects that are available in your workspace, you will right-click and click on Properties, go to the Java Build Path and Libraries tab. Slide 12. Creating the Java code, continuing. If you have any internal dependencies, like I said, those other Java projects, you will click on Add Jars and select that particular project that is available in your workspace. You will add that. And if you want to add any external packages or external vendor-supplied jar files, you would have to choose the External Jars option and then navigate to that directory where the external jar files are there and add them to your build path so that they will be taken into consideration while building so that you won't get compilation errors in your Java compute node. Moving on to slide 13, whenever you want to deploy a bar file or build a bar file that has for a message flow that has a Java compute node, what happens is when you add a message flow that contains a Java compute node, the Java project gets compiled and built as a jar file and will be added to the bar file automatically. The Java code is packaged, and it will be packaged into the bar file along with your compiled message flow file. As a user, you don't need to add any jar files manually. This is all done automatically. In fact, you should not be adding any jar files outside the scope of your message broker perspective, because what happens is if you add any jars outside the scope, because the bar file is nothing but a zip file, if you add any external jar files outside the scope, you will run into deploy problems. We had seen this with a couple of customers. They said, we did this, but the bar file doesn't get deployed. The reason being the project file doesn't get updated correctly. So you will run into deploy issues. So I would suggest that you use the bar file option, adding the jar files to the bar file automatically from within the toolkit. Now, slide 14, This is a brief comparison for user-defined nodes and Java Compute Node. Which one is better? It all depends on what your functionality is. But if you are using Java code, Java Compute Nodes are slightly better in the sense that there are a lot of capabilities that are ease of use with Java Compute Nodes, which are automatically available rather than user-defined nodes. Basically, before version 6, user-defined nodes is the only way that you could use a Java code. You had to write a user-defined node and distribute it. Whereas with Java Compute Nodes, you can do everything that you can do with user-defined nodes. Only thing being Java Compute Nodes being primitive nodes are easier to be packaged into a bar file. Another thing that you had to do with user-defined nodes is you had to create a workbench representation of your node basically by creating another project, and then to distribute it, you had to zip it up and give it to each and every user who wants to use that node, and then they had to extract it into their Eclipse directory and restart the toolkit with the minus clean option so that like Eclipse framework knows about it. Whereas with Java Compute Nodes, all you have to do is just export your message flow project as a zip file, which will include your Java message project. Actually, you would need to do it as a project interchange and select your message flow and Java Compute Node project so that when they import that project interchange, they will select both the projects and they will have your Java Compute Node project as part of that. So it's a little bit easier compared to a user-defined node. And also, as I explained before, the basic framework is generated by the Eclipse framework. So all you have to do is fill in the blanks for your evaluate method where you will write the meat of your logic. And the next slide, slide 15, is the class loading hierarchy. What the broker does when you have a Java Compute Node or a user-defined node, for the broker to determine where the classes are, first it searches the jar files. If you reference any method in a class, it will look at the jar file first to find that class, and if it cannot find it, what it does is it goes to the workpath shared classes directory. Workpath being an environment variable, on Unixes, typically it is set to var mqsi, and on Windows, it is set to documents and settings, all users, application data, IBM, mqsi, under which there is a shared classes directory. You can put your external jar files in that directory so that that directory gets searched for any class loading. If it cannot find in either of these in the deployed jar file or the shared classes directory, the broker then traverses your class path environment variable. It will go search each of the jar files on your class path, and it will try to determine whether that class exists in that class path. If it cannot find, that is when you will see an error that is described in the next slide. So the typical problems that we see is the class not found exception. So if, for example, you include an external jar or you reference a method from one of the classes and the broker searches the jar file, if it cannot find there, it will go look at all the jar files in your shared classes directory. If it cannot find there, it will go look at your class path, and if there are no jar files that contains the referenced class, you will get a class not found exception. Typically, that is a BIP 4395 error. That's what is thrown in your event log or syslog. And the other thing that we normally encounter from customers as a question is whether they can reuse existing Java classes that belong to Java Compute Node in other Java Compute Nodes. If you want to do that, What you can do is you can reference other existing Java projects when you are creating a Java project. Instead of creating a new Java project, all you will have to do is change it to the existing Java project. The only thing that you need to do is, even though the code is same, because the evaluate method, every time a message comes in, the evaluate method is invoked, you would have to implement it as a newer class, but the same project can be used so that you will have different class names that are extending your NB Java Compute Node class. Moving on to slide 17, the other common error that we see is BIP 4371S, which is failure to locate Java classes. Typically, you will see this on a broker startup. If you place your jar files in the jplugin directory, this is more common with user-defined nodes rather than Java Compute nodes. But I chose to include this because it's more with Java. If you put a plugin node or a user-defined node in the jplugin directory, on broker startup, the broker reads the jplugin directory and loads all the jar files. And if there is any class that is referenced in your user-defined node or Java plugin, and the dependent classes are not found either on the class path or the shared classes directory, it will throw this error. So the only way to resolve this error is, I always ask customers, make sure that you use the same class path that you have used to compile your plugin node. Because typically, whenever you're compiling your Java plugin, you would need to have these classes referenced on the class path or with the -cp parameter if you're using Java C for compiling your Java code. And recently, another issue that we had seen is customers who are trying to debug message flow projects that have a Java Compute node. And if the Java Compute node accesses a database, we started seeing the execution group abandoning. And we took an APAR recently, and if you encounter this, you have to go through the normal support process and open a PMR, and we will give you a test fix for this. Right now, the test fix has been tested by a couple of customers, and this APAR will be merged in 6-pack 5 time frame. I believe 6-pack 4 cutoff is already done, and this APAR is not going to make that. And another issue that you will see is BIP 4512S, which is Java language no class def found error. This happens typically whenever if you put your jar file instead of the jplugin directory, if you stick it in the jrelibext directory, what happens is the jrelibext directory is an extended directory. Anything that you want to override, you can place those jar files in there. But what happens is these jar files get loaded before the broker classes get loaded. So we started seeing the error saying that the MB node class was not found. So what you have to do is the normal location that you have to put your jar files is the jplugin directory. This is only used by extended classes, so don't put the classes in there. Moving on to slide 18, if you're using CORBA classes or SACS, ARG Apache SACS classes, if you put them in your jplugin directory, they will not be loaded because the broker already has some CORBA classes. So what you have to do to overcome this error if you're using CORBA classes is use something called your endorsed, a Java endorsed standard mechanism, standard override mechanism. That is a Java standard. So what you have to do is all these CORBA classes need to be put in a separate directory so that instead of the broker jars, these jars will take precedence. And the directory is, it will be in your Java home environment variable /lib/endorsed. That is the directory where you have to place these jar files. If you do that, the broker ignores its own CORBA or SAS jar files and loads them from the endorsed directory so that you can use your CORBA classes. Whenever you implement your Java methods, and any unhandled exceptions or the JVM errors that are thrown by the internal JVM errors of the broker. On Unixes with version 6, they are written to standard out and standard error. Also, if you have some print line statements in your plugins or Java compute nodes, they typically go into these files. And these files are available on Unix in your work path, components, broker name, and there is a long string with your execution group UUID, but typically that's the first directory that is there in the components broker name directory. There are two files that are written standard out and standard error. So these are great tools for you to like use if you want to do a quick test on your plugins by writing standard out and to standard out and standard error. So these files can be examined, but most of the time these files contain, if you examine them, if your execution group starts, you will see the execution group startup messages in them. So if you write a class and it throws an exception that you have not handled in your plugin or Java compute node, you will see the detailed exception stack trace in these two files. Moving on to the next slide, the other common question that we get from customers most of the time is how to load property files. Many of the customers try to use property files for loading properties that can be dynamically loaded and checked. You have to write a method, getProps method, and then instead call that method from your evaluate. Basically, what you will do is I have put that code snippet where you use the input file stream and get the resource stream as path. Basically, the path is nothing but your property file name path. You can either give your explicit path, or if you don't want to hard code, what you can do is it can be placed on the class path in any of the class path directories, or you can package your properties file into your jar file and use this getProps method to load all the properties. Once the properties are loaded, this method returns the properties back to your evaluate method, and then use your Java enumeration class to loop through all the properties and get each one of them and use whichever property that you want to use. There is a project interchange that I put together. If any one of you are interested, I can send you the PI export. Now, moving on to the next slide, debugging with Java compute nodes is a common problem that we see with most of the customers. There are some nuances that you need to observe or follow if you want to debug your Java code. One of the things that you need to do is set up a JVM debug port using the MQSI change properties command. And the MQSI change properties command is, the syntax is MQSI change properties followed by your broker name, space minus E, the execution group name, space minus O, and you have to use the COM IBM JVM manager object and the minus N option, the JVM debug port, minus V, the port number itself. The port number can be any port which is not being used by any other application. And the port number has to be unique for each execution group. Let's move on to the next slide. The port number has to be unique for each execution group because only one person can debug at a time. So this port number has to be unique. And just before coming to the presentation, we took an APAR because if you don't use the minus E option and give the JVM debug port, the JVM debug port is assigned to all execution groups on the broker. And that presents a problem when you restart the broker because you have to restart the broker for the JVM debug port to be active. So we just took an APAR, and that will be fixed pretty soon. A test fix will be available. And also, the port number that you have used in your MQSI change properties has to be used in your debug configuration window, which I'll show you in the next slide. It has to be it has to match. Otherwise, you will not be able to stop in your Java code. And the next thing that you want to do once you put your JVM debug port number, you have to use add Java source project so that, like, you know, the project will be added and available for debugging purposes. And also, like, you know, obviously the Java project should be in your workspace so that it can be loaded. Otherwise, you will get an error saying source lookup path not found error in your debug perspective window. Moving on to the next slide, this is where you will set your Java port that you have used with your MCSI change properties command. And also, it is very important that you check that checkbox saying that debug Java source code. If you forget that, that is one of the common problems that I have encountered, that the code never stops in my Java code and it passes through my Java compute node or user-defined node straight through. And that is one of the common problems that we have encountered. Once you set that debug Java source code checkbox and the Java port, click on Apply, and then you will go into the next window, which is on slide 23. That is where, like, you know, you will give a new configuration for your debug configuration, and then click on the Add button to look up your Java source, which is present in your Eclipse workspace. Once you click on the Java source, you will get a pop-up window, like in slide 24. And then you will have to say that it is a Java project. Instead of, there are some options that are available. You can choose WebSphere Message Broker Flow project, but because this is a Java project, you have to select the Java project. Then the Eclipse framework will show you all the available Java projects, which is shown in the next slide, slide 25. So this will list out all your Java projects, and you can select your Java project from that window and click OK, which is when you will be sent back to your debug perspective, and now you can actually debug your message flow. That basically ends my presentation. There are some additional WebSphere product resources that have been listed, out of which DeveloperWorks website is a very good resource for message broker or any other information like SOA or most of it. And you have the ESR tool for submitting electronic problems. So please go to that website. And if you have any questions, now I'll turn it over to Joe, and then we can open it for question and answers.
At this point, Dahlia, we would like to open the lines for questions.
And we have one question in our queue coming from State Street Corp. Ranu.
Hi. I would like to know, Kailash, you said the jars are automatically included in the bar file.
Right.
Added to the bar. Does the external jars also get included?
Yeah. If your external jars are part of your Java Compute Node project, yes. But what we normally recommend is not to include the external jars, because what happens is there were a couple of customers who were trying to do this, and ultimately it so happened that the bar file size became so big that they were having deploy problems. On examining the bar file, it so happened that all the external jars, say for example, like if you're using a log4j package and you want to package all the jar files, the bar file ultimately is going to become huge and you will have deploy problems because of your channel sizes and all. So what we would recommend you do is reference the external jars by using the external jars, so that the Java Compute Node project gets built with only the jar file from the Java Compute Node project, and then reference those external jars by using your class path or shared classes directories. That is the most preferred way that we want you to do.
Okay. In 5.0, we have to, whenever we deploy the Java plugin jar, we have to recycle the broker. How does it work in 6.0? Do we have to recycle the broker?
No, in fact, like, you know, you don't have to recycle the... whenever the bar file is rebuilt, with base version, with the GA version, we had this issue of if you rebuild the jar file, you had to, like, redeploy. It never, like, you know, was updated. But FixPack 1, we fix that problem, so you don't have to recycle the broker. Once you build your Java Compute Node project, you deploy the bar file. With GA version, you have to like restart your broker. With FixPack 1 onwards, a redeploy will do the job.
Thank you.
Klaus Luer has a question.
Well, I would like to know if I'm reading in parameters from disk with my Java code. Will this happen with every message, or will those parameters stay resident and be used for subsequent messages?
If you get a message and your Java code reads a parameter from your disk file...
To do some operation based on the message content, is there any way to hold on to those parameters that I don't have to do this disk I/O every time with every new message?
Well, but every time a new message comes in, your evaluate method is going to get executed. So in your evaluate method, if you code it to go and read the disk...
It will do this every time?
Yes. Every time a message comes in, your evaluate method gets invoked. So whatever is in your evaluate method code logic will be executed.
Okay. Thank you very much.
And we have no further questions. Mr. Lamb, I'll turn the conference back over to you for additional or closing remarks.
At this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation. We hope you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on this site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Kailash, for presenting today.
Thank you very much, everybody.
That does conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation. Have a great day.